This is continuing, and we go through the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, Solomon is a very interesting person, and he certainly made a lot of mistakes in life, like all of us has. But as we get to the conclusion of book of Ecclesiastes, you'll see that Solomon finally said, Lord, accept me the way that I am. I know you, and I love you, and thank you. But up until that time, he had some questions. He was challenged. It's almost as interesting as the book of Job. So this week, we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. Hear God's word, New Living Translation. He's talking about the futility of wealth. Now, he was a very wealthy person, so this is what he said. If you see a poor person being oppressed by the powerful and justice being miscarried throughout the land, don't be surprised, for every official is under orders from higher up, and matters of justice only get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Even the king milks the land for his own profit. Those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more, I like that. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what is the advantage of wealth, except perhaps to watch it run through your fingers? People who work hard sleep well. Well, they eat little or much, but the rich always are worrying and seldom get a good night's sleep. Now, there's another serious problem that I had seen in the world. Excuse me, riches are sometimes hoarded in the harm of the saver, or they put out into risky investments and turn sour and then lose everything. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. People who live only for wealth come to the end of their lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day they were born. And this, too, is a very serious problem. As people come into the world, so they depart. All their hard work is for nothing. They have been working for the wind, and everything will be swept away. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud. Frustrated, discouraged, and angry. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 8 through 17. As we look back on Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we looked at a link between injustice and greed. Now, the passage I just read makes some links between a brief sketch of corrupt officials and what is it that makes them corrupt. I don't know. News is full of corrupt officials, isn't it? Well, I think everyone wants their cut and look after their own interests all the way up to the king. Now, there's not much fear of God here, is there? Not much respect for God's law. The following verses, as you go through from 8 to 17, develop the point by focusing on the theme of greed in a series of brief snapshots. Solomon writes very similar to what he did when he wrote the book of Proverbs. You know, little pithy sayings that really go to the chase, if you would. But first, people who love money, their appetites are insatiable. They never seem to have enough, and now they have become wealthy, and they have a crowd of hanger-ons all looking for their cut. Their money had taken on a life of its own, and the more they have, the more problems come with it. Another snapshot is the rich, and they eat well, but they lay awake at night. Do they have indigestion? Are they thinking about how to increase their wealth? Well, laborers do not have these problems. They sleep soundly because they're tired by their day's hard work. Well, then here's another snapshot. Grievous evil. Wealth is hoarded, and then it's lost through some misfortune. Perhaps a bad speculation or a crop failure. Not even the rich are exempt from what the teachers call time and chance. And so the wealthy cannot leave their children anything if they squandered it while they were here on this world, and there's no more at their death. It's all gone. And they have the same now when they die as what they had when they were born. And everything in between is a blessing, by the way. Little Ralphieism added. But we finally see those hoarded their wealth eating in darkness, somehow surviving but a full of resentment and bitterness, cursing God for their life and how it turned out. Yet whose fault was it? The things that ended up this way? Yeah, it's our fault. And these were people that many would have called blessed because of their wealth, but their wealth was an idol. And their idols always deceive and corrupt their worshipers before they finally abandon them. You can see some of that in Psalm 115. Behind the snapshot in Ecclesiastes, we were just reading links to injustice and corrupt government with human greed. I think some of our modern day politicians need to read a little bit in Ecclesiastes, don't you think? Well, the excessive pursuit of wealth harms those who engage it. Even those who acquire wealth, who in a sense succeed in this pursuit, derive no true blessings from their success. But I love the buts, as you know, the buts and the ifs. More than that, others suffer as well. Their labor is oppressed by greedy officials. And it's not everything about a laborer's life is lovely, and the poor who might have benefited if the rich had been more willing to share their wealth. But here's a challenge for all of us to think about. Surely, the consumerism so rampant across the world today, not only in the United States, but across the world. What are the hidden costs of modern living? Personal, social, and not least, it's also environmental. I am so grateful that you're tuning in as we do this little walk through the book of Ecclesiastes, given a lot of things to think about, and a lot of true wisdom and God's truth woven all the way through. But this is something to think about. Do we know of situations in which a sudden increase of wealth made the individual or community more unhappy than happy? I think most of us have seen those people or know those people. And what could you learn from such situations? And take practical steps that you can take to counter an unhealthy love of money in yourself. It's money itself is not evil. It's the love of money that the scriptures talk about. And money can be a challenge for all of us. We need it. We want it. We got to have it. It's a way of keeping score in this world, unlike in Solomon's day. But we also come at a time that we lift up our prayers. And on our website there, you can see on that tab, slides, and if you click on the slides, you'll see all the people that we know about or asked to be on our prayer line here at church, and we want to come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them. Linda Sassine, especially, is her brother's in the last days of his life dealing with liver cancer, but I know there's a lot of people out there that need a touch, and we want to lift them all up. And, you know, it's one of the most beautiful things about prayer is that you can pray for yourself. Yeah, you can talk to God the Father through Jesus all by yourself, just like I'm sitting here talking to you through this microphone. But it's called prayer, and God will hear our prayers, and He will answer our prayers, and He will let us know that He loves us. And sometimes we just got to pour out our heart. And that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, don't pray like the hypocrites out there. No, go into your prayer closet. And what He was talking about, that you can go in privately and talk to God. You don't have to go through all that stuff. You just say, Lord, I want to talk to You. Daddy, can I crawl up on Your lap? I got some things I really need to get some help with or get some comfort. And He'll do that. So here's the prayer as we pray a prayer of intercession for all of those that we know of, that are in need of. And some we know about, some we don't. But you know the beauty part, that we can bring them all to God's grace through the throne of grace and by praying and letting God's Holy Spirit take care of them, because he hears them all, whether they're audible or just quiet. He knows. After all, he created us. Let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.